Nehemiah the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher calling all Canadians back to the Bible, this time because Jesus is our peace, and you will not find that truth anywhere else outside the Bible. You'll not find that in creation or looking around you in the earth. You'll not find that in this troubled world. You need the Bible to read of Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and the wonderful promise that he has given to every believer of his peace to the full. Let me speak a little on that to your heart today. The Lord Jesus is our peace because it is an everlasting peace. When Jesus gives his peace, no man can take it from you. The Lord had just announced that he was to suffer and die and then to return to heaven. The disciples would be left behind, but not alone. They would still have the promise of the Savior's peace, and he would not feel them. The Lord said, peace I leave with you. It would not be taken from them. Just like salvation itself, peace, this peace is eternal. That meant that in all their future ministry and the troubled lives of the disciples, the Lord would minister peace to their souls by his Spirit. This is the portion that every Christian enjoys. Some days we enjoy it more than others. But don't let it be your fault when you lose the blessing of Jesus' peace in your soul. Don't get so busy that you stop looking to Jesus or stop praying on the promises of peace. This is the solid foundation of the Christian in all the troubles of this world. In sickness, in health, in life and death, there is marvelous peace even unto glory. For to the Christian, death is to enter into everlasting peace. In that way, the Lord's peace settles all the issues of life, now in this world and in eternity. The Lord can bring good out of our troubles and cause us all the more to enjoy His peace. The sick bed in hospital becomes a bed of peace to the soul, even as the body is under trial. The deathbed becomes a scene of peace as eternity draws near, for then Jesus will draw near. The martyr can know peace with God in the prison cell while awaiting death for Jesus' sake. Even then there can be a hallelujah in the martyr's soul. And many martyrs have sung their way to death, giving praise to their Savior as they entered into glory. That has to be the greatest tribute to the Lord's promise to give peace to every one of His people. To know this peace, you need the Bible. The world will parade its false peace, but do not be deceived. There is no peace in the delusions of this troubled world. But I bid you to search for this peace in the Christian gospel. It is the true peace that fills and satisfies souls. The moment you believe on Jesus as your Savior, you will have this peace. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." And Colossians 1:14, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Followed up by verse 20, "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself." The foundation of the Christian's peace is the blood of the cross. That cross is the way for a guilty sinner to be reconciled to a holy God. That is real peace, and it is offered to you today throughout the pages of the Bible. I call you then to read the Bible. Take up my Bible challenge and read John's Gospel and then the book of Romans. If you do it carefully and prayerfully, you can take a month and read the Gospel narrative in the book of John and its explanation of why Jesus died and how He made peace. Listening to Let the Bible Speak, this is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and today we're looking at the prayer of Nehemiah. We have some very outstanding prayers in the Bible, and this certainly counts right up there near number one, and I hope that you will learn to pray. Prayer is the thermometer of the Christian's heartbeat for God. It is also the thermometer of the church to know where she stands and ministers. And so I trust that you'll join with us as we look at this message today in the life of Nehemiah, the prayer warrior to rebuild the wall. All right, let's see what we can take out of this in a short space of time tonight. You will see that verses 1, 2, 3, and 4 are the burden that was laid upon this man, Nehemiah. He was in Shushan, that's the capital of Persia, not Babylon now, but it's in Persia, and there that he got the news of the state of affairs back in Jerusalem. Now, this is what will we call it, phase two of the building program. The temple has been started, but the walls have never been rebuilt. And all of that is a problem. And so when Nehemiah gets the news through his friend Hanani that the work is stopped, the walls are still in rubble, the gates are burned, and there's a lot of work yet to do, and the work is stopped, well, it broke his heart. It really did break his heart. And you can see there in the verse 4, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days. It wasn't just a short 1 minute wow. It wasn't just a short little lament, but it really got to him, and it affected him greatly. And for days he was impacted by this news that things are not good over there in Jerusalem. And so he really took it to heart. He mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Now, the obvious application of this is God's work today. When we get the news and when we learn that things are not well in the cause of Christ, in the church, in the nation, well, it should also deeply affect us, and it should break our hearts. And we should be burdened tonight for the state of affairs in our own nation here in Canada. Nehemiah was a mourner in Zion for Zion. And there's a type of preacher, spiritual leader that's always optimistic and always sees the glass full, but doesn't recognize when things are not good, and therefore never mourns, never calls God's people to pray and to cry to God, never sees the emergency, never sees the lack of need. And therefore, many people just go merrily along, never really noticing. Not Nehemiah. And if we are burdened for reformation, we need to recognize the need. We need to recognize the low state of things in the Lord's church, in our own congregation and across the land. There, the church of the Lord Jesus is a bit like Jerusalem's walls, still in rubble, with the gates burned and the work is stopped. That really is tragic. And when you think about it, it's not a far-off description of the cause of the Church of Christ in our land today. It seems that the work is stopped. Now, this pandemic has come and certainly complicated things, and it's very hard to have a church growth when you're almost afraid to invite people in case they don't even get in the Sunday morning. I have been deliberately guiding some phone callers to come in the Sunday evening, and there's still room there, of course. And we have tried to make some provision that we can go beyond the 50 with separate seating in the hallway and elsewhere. But nevertheless, this pandemic has put the brakes on a whole lot of things. And of course, there are people who are fearful of coming out to church, and we understand that. And those who want to join us by webcast, and they do, and we appreciate all of that. Nevertheless, we see that God's work is in urgent need. Now, I want to look at this prayer of Nehemiah, and there are certain aspects of it that we can learn from tonight. In verse 5, there is the address of his prayer. And you will see that he addresses, he said, "I beseech thee, O Lord," that's Jehovah, of course, "O Lord, God of heaven, the great and terrible God." Now, Nehemiah certainly learned that, and the people of God did when they were in exile. They had just paid the big lesson, the big price for their idolatry. They had just learned that the God is not to be trifled with. They had just suffered greatly for their sins and apostasy, their idolatry. And now again, Nehemiah comes and he addresses God as the great and terrible God. And we have to realize that God indeed is the God that is judging the sins of this world and even of his own people at times. But also he recognizes in that verse there, and in verse 5, "I beseech thee," and he says, "that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments." God always deals with his people by that covenant arrangement, that special contract between God the Father, the Son, and those people whom God has given to Christ. And thank God tonight we are those people. We are his people. And we have this burden and we have this longing that God will graciously meet with us. And so tonight we are in covenant with God. And that is our strength. That is our strong argument in prayer. Because God has bound himself to help his people. And that's a tremendous encouragement to us tonight. And as we address God, there is this sense of his high, holy reverence, but also that in his grace, he is our God, and that we may approach him and plead with him earnestly. When you get to verse 6, you're going to see the plea of his prayer, and you'll see that there is no presumption here that God must hear, but rather there is the yearning. "Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant." So he's not going to presume God's going to hear anyway. No, he pleads. There is this yearning. "Let thine ear be open." And then you'll notice that there was no silence to this prayer because he prayed day and night, day and night. There was a constant burden in his heart, pleading, petitioning, and yearning with God. And tonight we come to plead with God. We come to plead with God. And as we are in this near relationship by covenant with God, we have the right to come and plead with him. And let's use all our passion to plead with God for his help and his great grace. When you get down to verses 6 and 7, you're going to see the thorough confession in Nehemiah's prayer, the confession of sin. And of course, when we are praying for reformation, we have to acknowledge that it is our sins that have brought us into this state. National sins, the sins of Israel, the nation that God had taken to himself, and they had grown weary of God, turned away from God, and that has to be confessed. And as we think of our nation, there are national sins to be confessed. Personal sins as well. You will see in verse 6 that he puts in the eye. "Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray
before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. We can't come tonight and take the high and holy ground of a Pharisee and say, Lord, remember the people that need it. Remember the people that have broken your laws. No, we've got to confess that we're all in this. And there is this corporate confession that we are indeed in need of the Lord's mercy. Now, it's a personal confession in that we have sinned against God himself. And you'll see sinned against thee two times. At the end of verse 6, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. And then the beginning of verse 7, we have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments. And you can see that it's personal sin. Sin is always personal. It's not just against the institution. It's against God himself personally. And then at the end of verse 7, you'll see that there are specific sins and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. And so tonight it's good for us to confess to God that there are specific sins that we as a nation, we as a community, and perhaps even as Christians are guilty of. The sin of prayerlessness, the sin of coldness, the sin of laziness, the sin of worldliness, the sin of materialism. These are things that we can bring to God and confess. Now, in the last part of the section, or really of the chapter, are the various petitions which Nehemiah brings to the Lord. And in verse 8, you'll notice it begins with remember, remember. This is one of the key words in the book of Nehemiah, and you'll find it's repeated again, especially toward the end of the book. And Nehemiah, in his prayers, he says to God, remember. Now, why would we need to say to the omniscient, all-knowing God, remember? Does God forget anything? But remember, we as prayer warriors are his remembrancers. You'll read of that in Isaiah 62, verse 7. And in the margin, it says, remembrancers. And so, because we are his people and in covenant, God has made promises. And now we can remind God, we can call upon God to remember, as he says here in verse 8, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if we transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. And God did that. That's why they were in exile. That's why they were in Babylon. They were scattered among the nations. But then the promise, if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. That's back in Jerusalem. And of course, God did that. And now they're rebuilding the walls and they're rebuilding the gates and they're trying to get things in order. And here is Nehemiah, and he's bringing these petitions unto God. And you'll see in verse 10, he reminds God, remember, as he says in verse 10, now these are thy servants and thy people. Can you pray like that tonight? Lord, this is your church. We're your people. We're your servants. We're not serving anyone else. And so we are pleading with God in prayer, and we're reminding God of these great, wonderful facts and truths that God should visit us and hear us and bless us and pour out his Spirit upon us. In verse 11, he's still pleading, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name. And you'll see here that he's not calling himself perfect. He's not saying that God's people have arrived and are what they ought to be, but they do desire. And that's a good place to be in prayer tonight. Lord, we desire your blessing. We desire victory and God to prosper his work. That's the word that's used right there in the middle of verse 10, who desire to fear thy name and prosper. That is to prosper God's work. We don't call it the prosperity gospel. That's sort of been hijacked. We call it the blessing of God, the help of God, promotion of God. And he prospers his people. And he goes on to finish this very prayer. And of course, what he's aiming at is, as you just read the last few lines there, and grant him, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. And what he's aiming at here is that he's going to go into the king, Artaxerxes, and he's going to ask for permission to go back to Jerusalem. And that's what this prayer is all about, that he may give leadership going back to Jerusalem to get the work going. And he wants the king's permission to do so. And when you get into chapter 2, you'll see down in verse 4 that when the king said to him, for what dost thou make request? And he just shot up a prayer to God. So I prayed to the God of heaven. And he's asking permission. And wonderfully, his request is answered. And soon he's on his way back to Jerusalem. And so this is a reformation prayer. It's a prayer of Nehemiah with a burden for the Lord's church and work. And I think tonight that we can take this to the Lord and we can pray for the cause of the Lord in our time and in our church and, of course, in our land. Canada is in great need of reformation. If God doesn't visit in revival and reformation, what trouble the Lord's church, unless we see Christians multiplied. That's really what we need. We need to see Christians multiplied everywhere. And that's what the Reformation would look like when you have churches strongly attended and communities that are changed by souls.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, call me free of charge from anywhere in Canada at 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.